Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, a number of you have been asking me about whether embryo selection could potentially save civilization, could potentially stop the collapse of civilization. I don't think so, because the selection against intelligence and against health is so precipitous that I think it's most unlikely that there has to be so many people engaging in embryo selection, and specifically for intelligence, you'd have to have some sort of eugenic religion almost to force them to do so. And that's not going to happen in a highly individually oriented society that you get in the winter of civilization. So I suspect not. But I suspect that what could happen is that as civilization declines, what you of course get is the retreat of civilization into refugia, into neo-Byzantiums, as it were. And as we've looked at in other videos, there is evidence that it is group-selected people that are high in religiousness, people that are high in conservatism, people that are high in ethnocentrism. It's those kinds of people among the more intelligent, tend to be having children. Now, if those people retreat to a refugia, to a neo-Byzantium, then it's perfectly possible that those people could be persuaded of the merits of embryo selection. And what this would mean is that the neo-Byzantium would race even further ahead. As long as it's done in time, as long as it happens in time before even the Neo-Byzantium becomes too stupid to sustain embryo selection, as long as that happens, then that could start to race ahead of the rest of humanity, and you might get something close to sort of speciation. Now let's have a look at what we know. Embryo selection, I've been corresponding with an expert on this, embryo selection can currently be used to select against polygenic diseases such as various forms of cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, heart disease, that sort of thing. And it could also be used to select in favour of IQ, because there are some alleles, whether you like it or not, that are associated with IQ. Though the magnitude, of course, depends on the number of embryos available. The genetic diversity, so and also a bit of luck. So to take an example, I'm told, if you have 10 embryos, then you can use that to gain an average of 6 IQ points based on the information we have at the moment. Now that might not sound very much, but there's between the highest and lowest scoring embryos, there can be a difference of between sort of 12 and 15 points. So this is within a family, you can get a brother and another brother who have a 15-point IQ difference. This is perfectly possible. And the heritability of IQ being as it is 0.8, the genetic element of this difference is likely to be about 12 points. So what you're preventing through this process is regression to the mean. What will frequently happen is that, let's say, a man marries a woman that's less intelligent than him, or a woman marries a man that's less intelligent than him, and therefore you are regressing genetically to the mean in terms of intelligence every single generation if you do something like that, unless you ensure that you marry someone that is equally intelligent to you. So this can prevent that process, and it can ensure that you only select for the most intelligent of your possible children. You can have children that will vary by about 12 points genetically. You will select only for the most intelligent of those children. And then they will select only for the most intelligent of those children. And then they will select only for the most intelligent of those children. And this means that even if the environment is relatively easy, this means that even if food is easily available and so on, you can select for intelligence. But obviously you'd have to have these group-oriented binding values to persuade you to be able to do that. Now, the embryo selection itself, whether this has what we might call a eugenic effect, depends on what the parents select for. Parents select for beauty, they select for health, they do select for intelligence to some extent. So we can't be confident at the moment, I would argue, that this process is going to raise intelligence because of what parents aren't selecting for it enough, really. But there could be a context, as I say, in a Neo-Byzantium in which they do so. Now, what would this actually do? Well, one possible, what you get in dystopian fiction, in sort of that movie with Kevin Costner, whatever it's called, Waterworld or Underworld or whatever it's called, is that there's two castes that we divide into, the higher caste and the lower caste. what seems to another possible idea is that you'll just get lots and lots of different castes that will be divided into, and some people, the more intelligent people, will use embryo selection, and the more intelligent people will therefore magnify their own gains over time, and so eventually, even though they've retreated to a neo-Byzantium, they will be able to break out of this neo-Byzantium and expand civilization once again, and expand it from a higher from a higher starting point than was originally the case. I mean, we know that it took about 1,000 years of harsh Darwinian selection to go from medieval England to go to the heights of intelligence that you see around 1870, and that was reliant on a cold period and whatever. Now, that cold period might not necessarily come again, but if this embryo selection is introduced, and if it is turned into a sort of a religion with group-oriented values being selected for via this process, and with intelligence being selected for via this process, then of course the civilization could reseed itself and expand and expand and expand and expand, and therefore fly higher and higher and higher until the limits of our knowledge that time round are reached, and then things start to undo themselves. But I can only speculate on what would happen by that stage. So I just wanted to look at this possibility. It is possible, if embryo selection starts happening among a large number of people in time, not that the cycle of civilization and the collapse is prevented, but rather that next time round, we could fly even higher. So I thought that was worth looking at, and tally-ho.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke, joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!